Thank you very, very much. Pastor, if you'll come back, please. The Assemblies of God believes in plaques. And it is fitting on this occasion of dedication celebration that this worldwide fellowship, of which you are such a vital part, it is my distinct joy every other month to have the pleasure of sitting with this brother, your pastor. He serves as an executive presbytery for this entire region. And the wisdom that he brings to the fellowship and to that table, the vision, the passion. I must tell you, I said to someone this morning, and I meant this sincerely, I wish we had thousands like you across this fellowship. I mean that.
Thank you, Brother Chad. Thank you.
So on behalf of your fellow colleagues, the Executive Presbytery, the General Presbytery of this church, a 270-member elect body, the 12,226 other Assembly of God churches here in America, and as you have already stated, the 51 million worldwide, it affords me a pleasure to present this plaque that reads, "The General Council of the Assemblies of God conveys his congratulations to Calvary Church, Irving, Texas, on the occasion of the dedication of its new facilities, J. Don George, this day of September the 5th, 2004. We congratulate you and this wonderful church."
Thank you so very much.
We love you.
Thank you.
And hold you in high esteem.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. What a wonderful day. And to be with a couple of our colleagues, District Superintendent Vic Schoberg and Ken George. Where's Ken? Back here, yes. Two district superintendents from among the 58 superintendents that serve this church here in America. We hold you men in high esteem and are grateful for you. It is a joy to view these gorgeous facilities that God has given to you. You are a blessed people. And this new tool the Lord has allowed you to build, you're going to see God do some incredible things. I believe that. You see, with every new venture, God is a God of faith and a God of adventure and a God of vision and a God of believing for the impossible. So now as you've reached this milestone, you reflect back upon your history and you're grateful for that. But what lies before you is one day of opportunity unparalleled in the history of Calvary Church, and we commend you. It's indeed a delight also to have the Jaron Davis team, who was with them last night in Missouri. They traveled by bus. Our bus flew a little higher than theirs. But these dedicated ministries unto the Lord, we love you and thank God for you. You're certainly a blessing to this church. Now, if you're wondering if I'm going to preach the same message this afternoon at 3 o'clock, let me put your mind at ease. I'm not. So you can come back. How's that? We have gathered to dedicate the church, but you're the church. You are the church. This is the house that houses the church, but you're the church. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You look like a church." Sure. We're the church. And the church belongs not to the Assemblies of God. The church belongs to Jesus. The church is bigger than the Assemblies of God. Aren't you glad? What God is doing today around the world is phenomenal. I shared in the service last night that we just returned from India, a land that is steeped in heathenism, a land that is steeped in Hinduism, and it's against the law to convert to Christianity in India, but nobody told God. And in the city of Madras, India, that Sunday that I preached before the General Council for all of India, the first service started at 5:30 Sunday morning. The auditorium seats 5,000 people. You can't walk up and down the aisles because they're full of people sitting in the aisles. 30,000 people will worship in Madras at our church that David Mohan pastors. In a city, in a nation that has kept God out, or tried to, I should say. We broke ground on Sunday afternoon for his new auditorium. It will seat 55,000 people. It's a stadium. Wow. Hallelujah. Well, that's because God's at work today within the church, you see. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, you need not turn there. Trust me, it's there. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verse number 18, it said, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock," I'm thinking about building my church. It doesn't say that. "Upon this rock I will build my church." I don't know what bank you have here in the greater metroplex of Dallas, but you can go to the bank with that. He is and he shall continue to build his church. And then he made a powerful statement. "And the gates of Hinduism, the gates of all the isms, the atheist, the liberal, the God-hater, the agnostic, is not going to stop the building. You can count on that, Calvary Church. It will not stop the building of the Church of Jesus Christ." I want to speak to you for a few moments this morning on the function of this building. You see, it's the most important building built in the Metroplex. This building is the most important building built in the Metroplex. I did not say it's the largest. I did not say it's the most costly. I said it's the most important. Because of its function, what happens here week after week through the course of the week is makes it the most important. I would like to call it the Greater Dallas Christian Hospital. That's really what a church is that functions. It's God's hospital, the operation that takes place. So let's look at it together. First of all, it's a diagnostic center. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25 says, "For all ye as sheep are going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd of your bishops," of your souls. You see, church, this morning, what happens here becomes so very, very critical. You can always be assured, always be assured. You know, one of my pet peeves is when I make a doctor's appointment and I go there and I sit there and I wait. Not if you doctors are here, I understand. Please, I'm not picking on you. You are in such demand and are so valuable to this society and to the well-being of mankind. We are indebted to and we say thank God for you. But I go there and I sit there and I wait and I wait and I wait and I wait. And then I want to be assured that the doctor is in. But let me tell you, when you come to this diagnostic center called the church, the doctor is always in. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He knows exactly, understand something. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly how to minister unto you. He has a remedy for every need that you represent, whether it be physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, relationally, whatever that is. I want you to know this doctor, Dr. Jesus, of which this church represents it. He will be there to minister unto you. That's why the scripture said, neglect not of the assembling of yourselves together. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. It could very well be before Jesus comes that we will have to have church 7 days a week. I would not be surprised. I'm talking about the opportunity that will be afforded the church to minister to people. You see, the world doesn't have answers. Only the church has the answer for the needs and the perplexities and the cares and the difficulties that men and women. That's why, as you scatter throughout the Metroplex this next week, wherever you go, as the group sang just a moment ago, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The church, this facility that you are housed in, has the answer for all the perplexities and all the cares and the needs of mankind that they are encountering day after day. There's another fact that becomes so very vital. It says this, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. We say, Brother Trask, I thought we had to have a crowd. No. He said, if two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Now you think of that. Whether you joined us in the prayer meeting in the prayer room, it was powerful. And I salute those prayer warriors. It's no wonder God's blessing canopies this church week after week. You've got to go to the engine room back here and to know of what God is doing, because he said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. Hallelujah. And where Jesus is, you can expect the miraculous to happen. You can expect the supernatural to take place. You can expect answers to prayer. You can expect God to deliver those who are bound and shackled by the chains of sin. I'm talking about how this is to function and what the church is to operate in week after week. It's also known as a place where the caregivers are. You see, I sit on the Cox board there in Springfield, Missouri. A large medical facility has 9,000 employees. It isn't just the doctors, but it's those nurses and those nurses' aides and the orderlies and those who keep all the ministries flowing day after day to those who are hurting. Well, let me tell you, this hospital that God has given to you here called Calvary Church is full of caregivers. Men and women who genuinely are concerned for you. You say, they don't even know me. Oh, yes. Yes. Don't try to hide. You are wanting to be cared for. Let me tell you, you can't find a better place to find ministry. Not only to expedite ministry, but to receive ministry. Oh, look what he says there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now, let me tell you, saints, that's a chore. That's why you need to pray for those in leadership. For the perfecting of the saints, because among the saints are some ain'ts. I've been preaching for 48 years. I've not met any perfect saints. But they're in the process, and that's wonderful. I've sensed it among those who I've met since we've been here this morning. But there are the caregivers. They will be there when no one else is around, when your family is not there, when there's no one to stand with you. I want you to know the function of the church is to be a caregiver, to reach out. You're going to have it through the Convoy of Hope here in just a few weeks. It's a powerful ministry. Why wouldn't you want to be a part of what God is doing called the church? Now you dedicate a facility today to the facilitating and to the functioning of that body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, it isn't, the scripture says this, they that compare themselves among themselves are unwise. So it isn't a matter of comparing yourselves to others within the church. It's until we come to the fullness of the stature of the person of Jesus Christ. When I was a boy growing up in a pastor's home, every spring, my mother would have the three of us stand by the door, and she would mark a little mark on the side of the door there, and then she would do this repeatedly every year to see if we were growing, because that was the natural, you see. And we as the believers are to come to the fullness of the stature of the measurement of Jesus Christ. You see, Brother Trask, I fail him so oftentimes. Well, join the ranks. We all fail him. But it's in the church and its ministry, one to another, those who are caring for you, they will help you to mature and grow into the measure so that we come into the beauty of the fullness of the divine Son of God. For only he is the one that is perfect. And that's what we strive for. Acts chapter 20, verse number 28. Take heed therefore unto you, yourselves, and unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And that brings me to the next function. It's a blood bank. The church is a blood bank. I picked up our daily newspaper yesterday morning and read that the hospitals and the blood banks of the city said, we need all types of blood. It's wonderful. But let me remind you, there's something so powerful about the church, this and its function. This is where the blood bank is. For in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18 and 19. For as much as you know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. You see, if that had been the case, many of us couldn't have got in. Such as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, there flows today from Calvary Stream a flow of divine blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, who's able to cleanse us from all sin, hallelujah, and can take a Murray Davis and make a preacher, Pentecostal preacher out of him. That's what the blood bank of it flows today, friend. And if you slipped into this morning worship service and you've never been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you've never felt the freedom from the stain and the burden of sin, I plead with you today. There flows a crimson stream. I see, and oh, it cleanseth me. Hallelujah. Not once, but again and again. You see, God in his infinite wisdom and the miraculous creative work of a God made this eye of yours and mine. Every time a piece of dirt hits that eye socket, a watering system turns on and washes it out. Let me tell you something. Every time we need a cleansing, there's the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ. You've come to this morning worship service, this celebration of dedication, and you say, Brother Trask, I failed him this week. I feel so unclean. I feel so miserable because I failed him. Let me tell you, plunge into the blood bank this morning. Let the blood of Jesus Christ flow over you. You can walk out of these doors knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt you have been made clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's never a shortage. Billions, not millions, but billions of people. I must tell you, I was thinking about this recently, and it staggers my imagination. One person's blood purchases and has purchased the forgiveness for all mankind. What a Savior. What a Savior. Hallelujah. That's why it is right that you've built these beautiful facilities and herald it out across the Metroplex. There's a blood bank called Calvary Church. Hallelujah. You can find release and relief. You can find cleansing. You can be made whole in a miracle of time by the power of Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Well, there's another function of this, the church. It's called the operating room. Now, I wouldn't recommend that you visit that in the local hospital unless you have to. But it's a wonderful place, gifted men and women. But this operating room in the church is called the altar. The altar. You see, the church does not deal with symptoms. The church deals with the cause. On the national news this past week, I was preparing to go to the office, and I had ABC News on, and it told the story of a man who had been diagnosed as having AIDS. I think it was something like 18 years, some lengthy period of time, and they had been doctoring him, only to discover that he didn't have it. What a tragedy. But let me tell you something. In this operating room called the church, there's never a misdiagnose. I said, there is never going to be a miss. For he who created us knows what is the cause and is able in a moment of time to take the scalpel and to remove the cause. It's called S-I-N, sin. You see, the society looks at men and women today and they are prescribing all kinds of remedies. Some good, some not so good, some very poor. But the church, because of this very factor, is able to deal with the cause of sin. Listen to what the psalmist David said in Psalms 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west. Anybody know how far that is? No hands. Not a hand in the house. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions, our sins. Hallelujah. They're gone. They're buried in the depths of the deepest sea, never to be remembered against us again. So when old Slewfoot comes at you and points his bony finger in your face and brings up your past, you point your finger back at him and say, you get out of here, Slewfoot. My Bible says that he has buried my sins in the depths of the deepest sea. He's cast them behind his back. He sees them no more. He remembers them no more. I am saved. Saved. Glory, I'm saved. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The operating room. If you've never been operated on, you need not fear this operation. It is joy unspeakable. I said, it is joy unspeakable. You don't have to have any rehab program when you finish this operation. In fact, you don't even need any medication because he does a thorough job. You become, listen to what the scripture says, you become a new creation, not a worked over old one. I had a knee replacement. I've said to those who are heading for that, I says, keep what you got as long as you can, because what they give you is not the same. But let me tell you, when he does the operating. Dr. Jesus in the house of the Lord. What a wonderful experience. The recovery is so marvelous. When you meet your friends, all of they'll say of you, "What happened to you? You look different." Sure, you look different because you're a new creation. You have a new outlook. You have a new smile. You have a new hope. You have a new peace. You have a new joy. You have a new friend. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the function of the house of the Lord. You, the church of Jesus Christ, you see. Well, let's talk about this matter of a new heart. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, it says this, "A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you." The writer said, "Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. The things you once loved, you now hate, and the things you once hate, you now love." If you've never had a heart transplant, you need one. I said, if you've never had a heart transplant, you need one. I was having lunch some time ago with one of the leading heart specialists in America. He's the son-in-law of Huldah Bentain. Jim Long is his name. Practices out there in Salt Lake City. It was one of these that has helped develop the mechanical heart. And we were sitting and having lunch together, and he was eating French fries in a hamburger. Yes. French fries, a heart specialist. I said, "Jim, what are you doing? Hamburger and French fries." Oh, he said, "Brother Travis," he said, "I've made a thorough study of this." And he said, "If it isn't in your genes, not your blue genes, but in your genes," he said, "it isn't going to make any difference. Oh, you might extend your life few days," but he said, it's in the genes, if it's in your family genes, like a 92-year-old daddy, Don George, you'll probably live to be 107, 8, somewhere there probably. It's been your genes, you got it there. He said, "Don't worry about it. Just go ahead and eat the fries and the hamburgers." He said, "I've been doing that." Well, it's okay. But let me tell you something. To have a new heart and a new spirit. I said, to be given a new heart and a new spirit, he wrote about. "And I will take away all the stony heart out of the flesh." You see, Brother Trask, I just can't forgive them for what they've done, that person's done to me. Yes, you can. What you need is a heart transplant. What you need is a new heart and a new spirit. That's what happens. It can happen during the worship part of a service when you gather together. I've watched it as a pastor time and time again. People who have come in burdened down with cares and problems and heartaches. And during the course of a worship, the Holy Spirit of God has condescended, reached down and taken out a heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. They went out of there almost walking on air because of what happened in the hospital called the church. God's church. Well, I don't need to tell you, but in this hospital, the healer's in the house. The healer, his name is Jesus. It can happen for you at home. Some months ago, Shirley was going for her annual physical. Had no indication, no thought of any problem whatsoever. Went to the doctor. The doctor gave x-rays, exam. And during the course of the x-rays, something showed up that said, "This is not normal, and we're concerned." Rightfully so. And he said to her, he said, "Mrs. Trask," he said, "this is what the x-rays show, and it doesn't look good." Well, you can imagine what happens. Fear and the enemy would pounce all over you.
Yes.
And he said, we're going to ask you to come back in a few days and we're going to do some more tests. Those were probably the longest 3 days we've ever had in the Trask home.
Yes.
But I'm so grateful for his name, Jesus.
Yes.
Couldn't get to a church because this happened on a Monday or a Tuesday, and it was to go back during the latter part of the week. But I said to Shirley, we're going to stand together and we're going to believe. For he said, if two shall agree, touching any one thing, it shall be done. I'm talking about healing, divine healing. We in the Assemblies of God believe that there's a healing for mankind today. You're here today and you need healing. Jesus has been walking these aisles during the course of this service, wanting to reach out and to touch you, minister to you. We joined hands that morning before I went to the office, and I said, honey, we're going to stand in prayer. We're going to believe. We had been praying those intervening days. We've preached this. We've believed it. We've stood upon it. The promises of God are yea and amen to them that believe. Now, I understand there's a sovereignty in God we don't understand. I understand that. There are those, when I was a pastor, there are those that I would have healed in a moment. And there were some I wasn't so sure I would have healed. But I'm not the healer. That's his business. Sure, that's his business. So don't question that. Just leave it in the hands of the Lord. And I said, we're going to pray again this morning before I leave, and we're going to call upon the healer. God filled that kitchen with the presence of the Holy Spirit settling there. She went to the doctor, and they run the battery of tests again. Said, you can go out and sit out there and wait. And that wait seems like eternity. And the longer she waited, the more the enemy said, there's got to be something wrong. Finally, when the doctor came out and called her in, he said to Mrs. Trask, I don't know what has taken place, but these x-rays do not compare to these x-rays. For the healer, his name is Jesus. Let me tell you, church, he hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you need healing, come to the hospital where healing is practiced. Where the doctor is in. I had a businessman there in Detroit when I pastored that great church. He was a big shot in one of the automobile companies. And he said, Pastor, I'd like to attend your church, but you know, because of my position, I'm expected to attend this prominent church. I said, it's okay. It's all right. No problem. Oh, he said, but I love what I feel here. I said, I understand that. He went to have his checkup, and while he was at the doctor's office, the doctor gave him the unwelcome news. You've got about 6 months to live. It's true. From the doctor's office, he called the church, our church office, and he said to my secretary, I got to see Pastor Trask now. I got to see him now. She said, wait a minute. You can't see him now. It was Tuesday, and every Tuesday noon of all those years I pastored, we had a day of fasting and prayer, and we had it in the sanctuary, and it happened to be Tuesday, and we were in the sanctuary for fasting and prayer. And he said, I must see him. And she said, Peg Martin said, well, he's in conducting the prayer meeting. I'm getting over there now. So I was sitting in the front row, and the presence of God filled that auditorium. He came and sat beside me, and he said, Pastor, he said, the doctor just diagnosed me with cancer. I got 6 months to live. Pray. He wants me to pray, sure. It's okay. We gathered around him and anointed him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the healer was in the house. Hallelujah. It's still living today, miraculously healed by the power of God. I'm telling you, the function of the church, you, the church, is so that he can minister to you and through you to touch a lost and dying world. Well, let me just touch on a couple more quickly, please. There's a nursery in this hospital. It's called the birthing unit. It's when men and women find Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's wonderful. Nicodemus, Jesus said to him, except a man be born again. He couldn't understand that. What do you mean born again? I've had those that I've witnessed to over these years say the same thing. What do you mean born again? I was born once. Here I am. In fact, I dealt with a businessman in the city this week, 80 years of age. He sold his business for $119 million. I sat in his office. I said, Bob, I said, when you die, and you could die today, Bob. I love the man. I said, you're going to leave every nickel of that $119 million behind. Bob, you got to know Jesus. For except a man be born again, he cannot see. It isn't becoming a member of Calvary Church. You can join every Assembly of God church in America and around the world. You can give of your millions. That's not going to buy you salvation. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I said, Bob, I want to take you to heaven with me. I want to spend eternity with you. Again, he big old tears filled his eyes. He said, it sounds like a pretty good thing. It's a birthing unit. When the altar call is given and the pastor extends the invitation, it's when men and women kneel at these altars or stand at a seat. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. I said, it's a miracle. He said, if we confess our sins, he's just and faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, it's wonderful. It's called the nursery, the birthing unit of the church. Well, there's a recovery unit in this hospital for the battered, for the wounded, for the hurting, for the bleeding, for the bruised. Listen to what happened in the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Speaking of Jesus, prophetic. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. You see, it isn't, we don't gather here to show our finery. That's not what it's all about. We gather here to bring in the bruised, the broken, the wounded, the bleeding. Let me tell you, the Metroplex of Dallas is, there's scores upon scores, millions, millions that have never heard that they can be healed. Their wounds can be bound up. There's oil to be poured in. He hath anointed me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and for that they might be called the trees of righteousness. Listen to this now. That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Why is all, what is this all about? It's there. That he might be glorified. That's what it says. Verse 3. That he might be glorified. Well, there's one more unit. Oh, there's many more, but let me just touch on one more in closing. It is called the discharge unit. The dispatch. It's going to happen. I said, it's going to happen. Yes. Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians. It reads like this. In a moment, in the twinkling, 20 twinkles in one wink of an eye.
in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. Let this old world of ours deteriorate, if you will, please.